It's good to see this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with us. I want you to feel comfortable as you make your visit. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of instructing in the Word of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested by Brother Craig. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ this very morning. Have your sins blotted out and be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible this morning, I want to read two verses for the thought of our study. The first coming from the book of Jeremiah and the 20th chapter. In Jeremiah chapter 20, I want to read with you verse 9. And notice at this time, Jeremiah the prophet had gone through much derision and much persecution. And Jeremiah says in verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." If you have your Bible, underscore the word heart like a burning fire. And take note of that phrase, and we'll come back to it in just a moment of time. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the Gospel of Luke and the 24th chapter. And in the Gospel of Luke and the 24th chapter, drop down and notice with me verse 32. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the Scriptures to us?" And if you believe in writing in your Bible, you might underscore, "our heart burned within us." You know, one thing I recognize is that in our day and time, that it is easy to get discouraged. When one looks at the condition of a lot of local churches, one might want to throw up their hands and just say, "I quit." It's a time in our day when there are little conversions and you see little baptisms. And you remember in a day and time where there were a lot of people that were being converted and being brought to the body of Christ. And now it seems like that does not happen as much as it did at one time. And one person may just say, "What's the use? Why even talk to the lost? It doesn't do any good." But this morning I believe that one of the problems we face in a lot of local churches is that people have become cold-hearted. Not that they've become evil, not that they've become contrary to God's Word, but that their heart is not set on fire for God. And this morning when Brother Jason read from the 85th Psalm, I love the statement that is made in verse 6 by David when he said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I like that statement that he said we need to be revived. That here we are, we're kind of cold, we're kind of sleepy, we're kind of dreary, and what we need is to be set on fire and have our hearts afire for God. You know, when a local church is filled with people with hot heads and cold hearts, that leads to trouble. What we need is a spiritual revival that calls for warm hearts and cool heads. For people to be willing to look at God's Word, to study God's Word, and to have an open mind and an open heart. And when we read these two verses, I want you to think about these examples in Bible days where there were people that felt like, "Well, maybe I should just quit preaching." When you look at Jeremiah, that man was tempted to quit. Here was a man who'd been unpopular in his ministry. Here was a man who'd been persecuted, who'd been put in the stocks, who'd been put in the dungeon, who'd been mocked and ridiculed. And if ever there was a man that might feel like quitting, it would be that man, Jeremiah. You remember, he was identified as the weeping prophet. And he had a lot to weep over because the people of Judah had left God and he became discouraged. And in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, he said, "I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak anymore in his name." Jeremiah said, "I've preached, I've tried to get Judah to repent, I've tried to bring them back." But I'll tell you, my friend, the people at that time were so engulfed in sin that it appeared to Jeremiah they would not repent. But then if you take your Bible, look at that next statement. In the next statement, he said, but His Word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Oh, I like that statement by Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I had made up my mind, I'm done preaching. But there was a fire in my heart. There was a fire in my bones, and I became weary of trying to keep it back. I must tell the people about God. I must tell them what they need to do in order to repent. And even though it was a time when the people had left God, and even though it was a time when society was wicked, here was a man whose heart was on fire for God. He had a burning heart. And you know one thing I've come to learn? It takes one person to start a fire. It takes one match to cause an explosion. And you know, sometimes if you want a revival, you want to start something, it starts with one person catching fire with God. But then if you have your Bible, look if you will in the book of Luke and the 24th chapter. When you come to the book of Luke and the 24th chapter, you'll see two disciples leaving Jerusalem and heading to Emmaus after the crucifixion of Jesus in Jerusalem. And it had been 3 days, verse 21 said. And notice it said 3 days, the latter part, since the things had happened. And so here they are walking along a country road, half believing, half doubting, suffering over the loss of Jesus, when the resurrected Christ caught up with them. And notice they had their facts right. They said today is the third day since these things had happened. But their conclusion was wrong. Look at what they had said in the very beginning of verse 21. We were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Now, Jesus came not just to redeem Israel. He came to redeem all people. They had in mind a physical kingdom. But Jesus had come to establish a spiritual kingdom. And they were wrong in some things, but they were looking at the third day, and they should have been expecting to see Jesus raised from the dead. And when they did see the Lord, because they were not expecting Him, they didn't recognize Him. Notice He was a veiled Christ. But then when you take your Bible and you read, notice that Jesus began to expound the Scriptures to them in verse 27. And He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And notice that it's as Jesus is explaining the Scripture that their eyes is open. Notice they drew near to the village in verse 28. He would have gone farther, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, He took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to him, and their eyes were open. When He broke the bread, their eyes were open. I like that statement. All of a sudden, notice my friend, He vanished, and notice what they did in verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us? When did their heart burn? While He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scripture to us. The Word made their heart burn. And notice that very hour, they got up, they go back to Jerusalem, and they say, we've seen the risen Christ. Now, I thought about that. Their hearts were afire for God. Just like Jeremiah, they couldn't just sit still. They couldn't just go to sleep that night. They had a zeal and a passion and a fire burning with them, and they could not be quiet. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson series. You know, I think that today many Christians are walking with a veiled Christ. That is, we don't have our hearts on fire for Him. And what is needed today in the year 2019 is holy heartburn, if you will. To have that heart burning because the Word of God is within us. You know, there was a man who wrote a book about love. He was a professor and he was a very learned man on the subject. The only problem was he'd never been in love. And he took the manuscript to the typist and she turned out to be this lovely lady. And when their eyes met, something happened to the professor that was not in the book. He was happier in 5 minutes with love in his heart than he'd been 30 years with love in his head. You know, we can know a lot of facts about God but not love God. The more we study the facts of God, it should make us love God more. A lot of people say they love God, but you don't see it by their actions. You don't see it by the way that they portray their worship and the way that they come in. You would think that we would want to be together because we love God. Worship isn't going through some motions. Worship is putting our heart and our praise unto God. Any worship that doesn't come from the heart is not very worshipful. It's not going where it needs to be. We read that this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, when he said, "You speak to one another in psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." It's the heart that he's looking at. And so too many Christians today have allowed their hearts to become hardened by time and by not studying and by not praying as they should. So what do we need to do to have our hearts afire for God at Eastside in the year 2019? First, we don't just talk about revival. We don't talk about what causes hindrances to revival. We don't just talk about what may cause a revival. I'll tell you what we need to have is a revival. And that's a scriptural word. I remember one time a friend of mine was holding a meeting in North Alabama. And he decided to say, "Let's just have an old-time revival." And they put revival up on the sign, and somebody complained and said, "That sounds denominational." And they changed it to gospel meeting. I want to tell you don't even find the phrase gospel meeting in the Bible. But you find revival time and time again. Habakkuk said, "Revive thy work." Habakkuk prayed about it. David prayed about it. You'll find many times where they prayed for the people to be revived, to have awakening, to be stirred up, to be back to where they need to be spiritually. And what we need is to have a heart warming. Our heads and our hands have outrun our hearts. We've been wagging our heads and working our hands, but we need to be warming our hearts. You know why a lot of people complain about working in the local church? Because they see it just as an obligation and not an opportunity. I remember one time my father had the job of asking people to take part in a service. And I understand some people are sick or may not feel like it. But he asked this one young man, he said, "Can you lead prayer for me tonight?" And he said, "I led it this morning." Like that is some great burden to do. Can we say that that's hard to pray to God? Now, I realize sometimes we may have a physical ailment that may keep us from wanting to be in front of others. But I'll tell you something, my friend. Sometimes it's not that. It's the fact that we don't love talking to God. We don't love expressing our appreciation and adoration to God and glorifying our God. I was thankful for the prayer this morning by Brother Danny. I was thankful for the things that he led. I was thankful that he asked for a revival in our day. And I'll tell you, my friend, if the work at Eastside is ever going to have a revival, it's going to be because we look at things not as obstacles, not as burdens, but as opportunities. I'll tell you. There was two boys that were put in two different rooms. And one boy was put in a room with all the shiny toys you could imagine. And he had everything that was new, and he had all these expensive toys, all the gadgets, all the things that make noise. And another boy was put in a room with just horse manure. They come back an hour later, and the boy that had been put into the room with all the great toys and all the things you could imagine was sitting there, and he said, "I'm bored." They opened the door to the young man who had been put into the room with just horse manure, and there was manure everywhere. And he was just spreading it, and they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I figured with all this manure, there had to be a horse in here somewhere." You know what the difference is? One saw an opportunity, and one saw entitlement. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God everything. And worship is an opportunity to express my love for God. God has already shown His love to me. He demonstrated it by the giving of His Son. And God says, now I've shown my love, I've expressed my love, I've blessed you. You walk in a world that is filled with prosperity. I look out, none of us look like we're starving. We all have nice clothes. I think we all probably drove here in a vehicle. And yet we complain and we don't appreciate the blessings of God. And then we look at the spiritual blessings we have and we don't even appreciate those, which are far greater than any physical blessing we have. And we say, God, I want more. And we don't reciprocate the love He's shown us. We don't look for opportunities to look out and see somebody who's lost and say, here's somebody that can receive the grace and love of God. We don't look out and see the opportunity to do good unto others. And I'll tell you, until hearts are afire for God, local churches will die. I think we've gotten to the point where we're almost ashamed to say the name Jesus Christ in public. I've seen a lot of people who are almost afraid to say His name. So how do we set our hearts on fire? Jeremiah said, it takes God's Word to do it. The disciples said their hearts burned when Jesus expounded the Scripture. When I put my nose in the Word of God and I study the book and I read what God has done for me and I see the love of God, I'm going to want to love in return. And then it doesn't seem like the things that are burdens anymore. When I was dating Mary, I was living in Columbia, Tennessee. I lived here in Shebbel for a while during that time. Every weekend I'd drive down to Birmingham, 3 hours away. But you think I thought that was a burden? No. I was glad to see her. Why did I do that? Because I loved her. I couldn't afford it, so I had to marry her and bring her back to Tennessee. But I was going down every week. I'll tell you something. When you love somebody, those things that others may see as obstacles become opportunities. And I'll tell you, you will do whatever you can to show someone you love them. And God has showed us His love. And what we need to do is look in the Word and study so we can show Him our love. Now we need to be aware of false fire and heed the Word of God. But we can rekindle the fire that is true and the flame that is right through the Word and through prayer. And we need to be careful lest we become like the Laodiceans in Revelation 3 and become lukewarm. Or be like the Ephesians in the Revelation letter and leave our first love, Christ. We must not let our love for God grow old. And my question is to you, is Jesus real to you this morning? Do you really love the Lord? In John 14, look at the statement made by Jesus. In John 14 and verse 21, He said, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How was He made real to those Emmaus disciples who went from having a burdened heart to a burning heart to believing hearts? When the Word was expounded to them. And the question we got to ask ourselves today is, Jesus in our heart. Is our heart on fire for Him? Young men, young ladies, in the days of your youth, you're to remember your Creator, as the Ecclesiastes 12 once said. Is your heart on fire for the Lord? Adults, as we get older, is our hearts set on fire for the Lord? Those that are aging, though you've been walking this path for a long time, is your heart still on fire for the Lord? You know, one thing I appreciate so much about Brother and Sister Butler is their hearts are always on fire for the Lord. Brother Butler has really been an example of keeping your heart on fire for God. And I'll tell you something. The older I get, the more I see I need to be doing the work God has given me now. I need to be doing the things that glorify Him now. I like in football, when the game is played, they say, well, we left it all on the field. We played our hearts out. When it's our time to go, can we say we've left it all on the field? That we didn't play, but we left everything out there because we loved God and we wanted to do everything we could to glorify. The more you love someone, the more you want to express it. And the more you want to express it, the more you will be set on fire to go about letting others know who's Lord of your life. Will there be a revival in 2019? All it takes is for one. Because I'll tell you, one thing I see about fire, it's contagious. You ever just drop a match on a fire and in a place and all of a sudden the wood starts catching and more wood starts catching and next thing you know, before long, you've got a big fire burning. It takes one. Who's going to step up and be the one at Eastside to light the fire in 2019? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of Christ, do you know you can make heaven rejoice?